Ramsey TV.
Okay, here we go. I've been really looking forward to today. Going to get you a lot of information today. I have to make an addition of something I said yesterday. I talked about the perverted Christian gospel. That's a big mess. It's a mix of Paul's gospel with law, with baptism, with rules, regulations, behavioral charts, sacrifices, all these Israel things, making Paul's gospel not Paul's gospel. It's a complete bastardization. But in addition to that, it has also been infected with satanic teachings. 1 Timothy 4:1 talks about doctrines of demons. These are things above and beyond the mixing. It is things like eternal torment, which is not a scriptural teaching, but which is foisted on innocent people by the Christian religion when they twist the scriptures, when they mistranslate the scriptures. Then there's human free will. Then there's the Trinity. All these things which disqualify people from even believing Paul's gospel. I mean, it is a graveyard of misinformation with the graves exposed, the rotting flesh. It is a spooky place. It's haunted with demons. I wouldn't go anywhere near a church. I swear to God, I know people who have even been to my conferences, and they walk away, and I don't know how they do it. They still go to church because they have no idea of the demonic activity there, the open graves, the stinking flesh, because the talent of Satan, he sanitized the whole freaking mess. The message is perverted. It's more perverted than anything on earth. And I've said to you many times, some people think I'm joking. When my kids were growing up, I would rather have taken them to a strip club. Yes, a strip club. A happy place. A wonderful place. Or a bar. Rather than take them to church. I am not freaking kidding. And if somebody rolls their eyes and thinks I'm joking, then you still don't know what is going on in church. Anyway, this is Martin Zender. I'm broadcasting from the Florida Peninsula, the edge of the bottom of the thing. And now we're going to find out how God is going to bring Israel back. I mean, the details. I'm in Romans chapter 11, talking about what has become to Israel, what has happened to it, what are these people doing now that their gospel is on hold, and that now that we're in the era of the nations. I told you that the lost 10 tribes were dispersed probably among the European nations. They became the European nations, and Europe came over here to the United States, where I am broadcasting right now from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. And so most of these people have lost their identity, yet way back they're Israelites, but they don't know they're Israelites, but they have this deep-seated feeling that somehow they're Jewish. Well, they are. I'm guessing many of them are. It's an educated guess. And so they could respond legitimately to their evangel. Now, the miracle is when God's going to call them back. Look at this pregnant statement in Romans 11:15. This thing's about to have a baby. Listen to this. I'm getting ahead in Romans 11, but I got to give you this before I go to Ezekiel 37, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Paul says, if they're casting away, got to come in already. You remember in the beginning in Romans 11:1, Paul says, does God thrust away his people? May it not be coming to that. He eventually says, no, God has not thrust away his people whom he has foreknew. I told you that God has not thrust them away, but he has cast them away. This is verifying what I told you in verse 15. For if they're casting away, see, he casts them like a net. But when you cast a net from a boat, if you're Peter or Andrew and you're fishing, you don't throw the net out and let it float away. You have to hang on to the net. You have to have it attached to the boat. So when you get the fish, you pull it back in. This is what God's going to do. He's going to pull the fish back in. If they're casting away is the conciliation of the world, what will the taking back be, if not life from among the dead? Let me repeat. If they're casting away, that is their temporary setting aside, is the conciliation of the world. God, quote unquote, used the quote unquote opportunity of Israel being cast away to take a whole new message to the nations via the Apostle Paul that have nothing to do with baptism, circumcision, so on and so forth. You know that. So their casting away was the opportunity. I use that word figuratively. God doesn't look for opportunities. Oh, there's a good opportunity. No, he planned the whole thing, obviously. So what will the taking back be? The taking back. The taking back be, if not life from among the dead, from among the dead. What do you mean dead? Dead here is not used literally. It's figurative death. It is spiritual unawareness. It is figurative death in that death is oblivion. And that the people today, as I told you yesterday, God has made the majority of Israel to be stupefied. He has given them a spirit of stupor. Verse 8, Romans 11. God gives them a spirit of stupor, eyes not to be observing, ears not to be hearing until this very day. This is in opposition to the remnant who are keen, who know what's going on, who understand that another evangel has taken center stage, who understand that they are an evangel in waiting, who understand that the book of Hebrews was written to them by Paul to comfort them while they're waiting for their evangel to come back on the front burner, or to stay with my analogy, center stage. So the dead in verse 15 of Romans 11, back from among the dead, this is a figurative dead. It is spiritual oblivion. It's figurative. It means that they just don't know what's going on. But the words I want to focus on is they're the taking back. The taking back. Is there a chapter in the Bible, in Scripture, that describes the taking back? Yes, there is. And it's Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to go there now. Associated with this, I probably won't get to it today, is Isaiah chapter 43 and Luke chapter 13, I think verses around verses 45, something with a 5 in it. I'll get to it, and when I get to it, you'll get to it. I have to calm down. I have to be a little bit patient. I've been waiting for this, Ezekiel 37, because I love it. I love the behind-the-scenes look. Now we're getting the behind-the-scenes look. But most people don't know what Ezekiel 37 means. But keep in mind, Paul says, life from among the dead, and they're taking back. And remember I told you, those questions I asked Jim Quorum of the Concordant Publishing concern, what if there's a guy in Iowa who doesn't know he's an Israelite from way back, but he has this instinct. He loves the circumcision gospel, but he's got everything messed up because he's an Israelite, and Israelites always mess everything up. He's living in a hodgepodge of disparate teachings. He's confused as hell, and he's calloused, basically, and just, okay, God is going to call these people back by the probably millions. Are you ready for this? I am going to Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of Yahweh came on me. I'm quoting this from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. The hand of Yahweh came on me. He brought me forth by the Spirit of Yahweh and stopped me in the midst of a valley. It was full of bones. He made me pass through them all around, and behold, there were exceedingly many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of humanity, shall these bones live? And I answered, My Lord Yahweh, you know. God, I love this. A vision. A spiritual vision given to the prophet Ezekiel. A valley that is a low place, the lowest of the low, filled with bones, and not only bones, but bones that were very dry. No hope of life, no scent of life, no indication of life. And the question to the Son of Humanity, a human being with who himself has death coursing through his veins, the question is asked of him, shall these bones live? And the only answer, this is a brilliant answer from Ezekiel, says, My Lord Yahweh, you know. Probably bowed down on the ground. It's like, what are you asking me for? I don't even understand the question. It's like God asking Abraham, count the stars. God setting the stage for a great saying, quoted by David saying, salvation from a human is futile. Greatest verse you'll ever hear, salvation from a human is futile. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. Can you believe this? God is going to use a human being to participate in this thing that we're learning. Prophesy over these bones, and you will say to them, dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says my Lord Yahweh to these bones. Now, before I quote God, I'm going to tell you that as this unfolds, I'm in verse 4, we don't yet know what these bones are, what these bones signify. God is very dramatic here. Yahweh is being extremely dramatic with the prophet Ezekiel. He's unfolding it step by step. Wait until you hear this. He said to me, prophesy over these bones, and you will say to them, dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says my Lord Yahweh to these bones, behold, I will bring spirit into you, and you will live. I will bestow sinews on you and bring up flesh upon you and encase you with skin. I will bestow spirit in you and you will live. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. So I prophesied just as I was instructed. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a quaking. And the bones drew near, each bone to its next bone. As I watched, behold, sinews appeared on them, and flesh came up, and skin encased them overall, yet there was no spirit in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the spirit, prophesy, son of humanity, and you will say to the spirit, thus says my Lord Yahweh, come from the four winds, O spirit, and blow into these who were killed so that they may live. When I prophesied as he had instructed me, the spirit came into them and they lived and stood on their feet, a most exceedingly great assembly. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of humanity, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Not the nation Israel, the house of Israel. Remember, I told you that Israel, the nation, was split into two houses, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The house of Israel being the northern tribes, the house of Judah, the southern tribes. The southern tribes went into captivity to Babylon, and they came back to the land. They were the ones who called the curse upon themselves, his blood be on us and our children. They were in the land when our Lord was crucified. And they are the ones that we would call the obvious Jews today. The northern tribes, consisting of 10 tribes, with the exception of Benjamin, parts of Levi, and Judah. They were taken into captivity as well, not by the king of Babylon, but by the king of Assyria. Assyria became involved with many wars, and they left the 10 tribes unattended. They fled, they scattered, they never came back. I quoted to you Amos 9:9 from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. I'm going to go back there now to remind you of what happened to the house of Israel, specifically the house of Israel, not the nation of Israel, the house of Israel. Amos 9:9. For behold, I am instructing, and I will jerk the house of Israel, not the whole nation, the house of Israel, which are the northern 10 tribes, as opposed to the house of Judah. I will jerk the house of Israel to and from among all the nations, just as if jerked to and fro in a sieve. Yet not a pebble shall fall to the earth. What does that mean? It means that God is going to keep track of every single one of them. God is going to keep track of every single member of the house of Israel from centuries ago, millennia ago, and not one of them will be lost to him. This, what we're reading in Ezekiel 37, is the remedy to Amos 9:9. In Amos 9:9, the house of Israel is scattered. That's the condition they're in today. That's where the guy in Iowa is. The guy in Iowa who doesn't know his ancestry, thinks he's from England, or thinks he's from Denmark, thinks he's from France, thinks he's from Italy, somewhere in Europe. Doesn't realize that the people in Europe are from those lost 10 tribes who had nowhere else to go but north. But they were scattered among every nation, as Amos 9:9 says, yes, but birds of a feather flock together. And as I told you, to find the lost tribes of Israel, one needs only to look at the characteristics of an Israelite, and I've reviewed those for you. So the Spirit of God comes into these bones that have no life in them whatsoever. And at about probably anticipating the question, what are these dry bones, Lord? God answers to Ezekiel and says, these bones are the whole house of Israel, who hitherto have been saying, our bones are dry, our expectation has perished, we have gotten ourselves severed. Therefore prophesy, and you will say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I will open your tombs. Again, these are figurative tombs. I will bring you up from your tombs, my people, and bring you to the ground of Israel. This is the thing. I'm going to go to Isaiah 43 probably tomorrow and show you where these lost tribes, these lost people have been scattered to, and how he's going to bring them back, where he's going to bring them back from, where he's going to bring them to. Where else is he going to bring them? To the land of Zion. He's going to awaken them, put his spirit in them, but the necessary preliminary here, I don't even need to tell you, goes without saying, is that they have no expectation, they're dead, they're done. This is not the remnant. This is the rest that were calloused, hardened, no expectation, nothing. You look at them and they're lost. They're stupid. They don't even know who they are. They don't even know the right gospel. They're bartering their Lord's name for money, for self-respect, for self-worth. They're using the Bible to make themselves feel better. God's their co-pilot and all that other BS. Hitherto, they've been saying, our bones are dry, our expectation has perished, we've gotten ourselves severed, therefore prophesy, and you will say to them, thus says my Lord, behold, I'll open your tombs, bring you up, my people, bring you to the ground of Israel, then you will know that I am Yahweh. When I open your tombs, when I bring you up from your tombs, my people, I will bestow my spirit in you. This is the new covenant. This is nothing less than the new covenant, and it will begin happening once we are snatched away. Once we are snatched away, that will be the occasion for God to move. And the Spirit of God is going to move. And Ezekiel was seeing this. Ezekiel was looking into the future in a parabolic way, in a metaphorical way, at this valley that God had prepared for him, showing him, this is what I'm going to do. He hasn't done it yet. No, he hasn't done it yet. This has not happened yet. Because this is the new covenant. The new covenant is still waiting to happen. The new covenant is national, not individual. I will bestow my spirit in you. You will live, and I will settle you on your own ground. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken. I will do it, averring is Yahweh. God has not thrust away his people. I have spoken. I will do it. And yet there are factions in Christianity that say God is done with Israel. He's finished with his natural people. No, I, Yahweh, have spoken. I will do it. The word of Yahweh came to me saying, as for you, son of humanity, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and for the sons of Israel joined with him. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, Ephraim's stick, and all the house of Israel joined with him. House of Israel, house of Judah. What have I been talking about? House of Israel scattered, house of Judah, those people that remained in the land who are what we would call the natural-born Israelites, the obvious Israelites, but are which in fact are a mixed breed of people. They interbred with all sorts of other nations, and yet they are just as calloused as the Israel that has been scattered. But at least the scattered Israelites recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They're just effed up as you can possibly get. They're as effed up as hell is what I was going to say, but I decided not to. Take a stick and write on it for Joseph, Ephraim's stick. Ephraim was another name for the house of Israel, Ephraim being the son of Joseph, and all the house of Israel, there it is, bring them near, and the other stick, the house of Judah. Yet whenever the sons of your people should ask you, saying, will you not tell us what you mean by these? Speak to them. Thus says my Lord Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in Ephraim's hand, and of the tribes of Israel joined with him, and I will put with them the stick of Judah on it. Two houses, Israel and Judah, and I will make them one stick, and they will become one in my hand. The splitting that God did of the nation Israel into two houses is going to be healed. It's going to be cured. It became a civil war. Really, it was a cold war. It just happened. There wasn't any battle for it. Nobody went after them. There wasn't any Lincoln of the day who decided to, you know, keep the Union. No, they went their way. But God says, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to take the 10 tribes, bring them back where I scattered them. I'm going to join them with a remnant in the lands of God's choosing, not their choosing. There's going to be some that are not going to get in, obviously, okay? This is kind of like it's by the grace of God that there's a remnant, Romans 11. So this is going to be God's choice of who's in and who's not. It's still up to God. It's still up to God. With the sticks on which you wrote, held in your hand before their eyes, speak to them. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I shall take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, including Iowa, and I will convene them from all around and bring them to their own ground, which will be none other than Zion. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, the chief mountain being Zion, naturally. And one king shall be king for them all. Who do you think that is? It's David. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they be divided into two kingdoms any longer. They shall not defile themselves any longer with their idol clods, with their abominations, and with all their transgressions. This describes the BS doctrinal mess, the sick teachings that have come forth from this monstrosity called Christianity. These are the transgressions, the abominations, the idol clods. That's the concordant version of the Old Testament. I will save them from all their backslidings in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. This is nothing less than a miracle. You just saw it, the Valley of Dry Bones. Very dry, nothing on them, no sinews, no nothing. Suddenly some miracle happens, there's a clattering, Ezekiel's looking on in complete shock, and it's a miracle, it is a miracle. Skin's coming on them, they're moving, they're coming alive, each bone is joined miraculously to the one next to it. That was the wording. That's only a work of God, that's the new covenant. This is not something that's going to be a Christian reform. Let's get together and preach the gospel to every nation, the Christians say. And they take their sick shit message with eternal torment included in it, and they think that this is going to bring about the new covenant. This is going to bring about the salvation of the earth. We're going to take over the earth. They're trying to. It's a sick what they're trying to do, but that's par for the course. That's par for the course. While they're doing all this activity, they're dead as can be. The more they do, the drier their bones get. But I, says Yahweh, I will save them from all their backslidings in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. They will become my people. I myself shall become their Elohim, my servant David. There it is. There it is. Verse 24, Ezekiel 37, my servant David will be king over them. Where do you think that's going to happen? Zion. That's where David used to live. He's coming back to the old neighborhood. Only this time he's going to be immortal. My servant David will be king over them, and there shall come to be one shepherd for them all. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be the chief priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And he's going to be back as the chief priest, and David's going to be the king. And where do you taste the wine in that place? My servant David will be king, come to be one shepherd. They shall walk in my ordinances. How can you tell? Because I'm going to do it myself and observe my statutes, and they will do them. Thus they will dwell on the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, in which your fathers dwelt. They will dwell on it, they and their sons' sons throughout the eon. What eon? The millennial eon, the 1,000 years. And David, my servant, will be their prince for the eon. I will contract with them a covenant of peace. I've been telling you, this is the new covenant. It shall come to be an aeonian covenant with them. Not with anybody else, with them. I will establish them and increase them. I will put my sanctuary in their midst for the eon. Ezekiel prophesied about that as well. My tabernacle will be over them. Thus, I will become their Elohim. They shall become my people. There's the famous verse. You've heard it before. Then the nations will know that I, Yahweh, am hallowing Israel when my sanctuary comes to be in their midst for the eon.